Hey guys, I want to invite you to the Liturgy of the Land Conference on December 13th and 14th. Go to liturgyoftheland.com for more information, but I want to invite you to join us for a 2 days discussion, discernment, and community with a phenomenal lineup of experienced homesteaders, farmers, and craftsmen. Dave and Lady Pamela will be there, Lady Haley and I will be there, and we'd love to have you guys there as well. Go to liturgyoftheland.com. There's already 60% of the tickets have been sold, so they're going very, very fast. But Sean and Beth Doherty is going to be there, Brandon Shear, Jason Craig, Tom Gallagher from Tan Books, Alan Harrelson, who's been on our show, Pipe Cottage, Thomas Van Horn, who's the owner of Ambrosian Candle Company, who also provided us with candles for a lot of our patrons, Dr. Jared Stout from Exodus 90. There's going to be a whole host of different people there. We'd love to have you guys go. Go to liturgyoftheland.com for more information.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles. In the middle of the octave.
Of the dead.
Have you gone to the cemetery yet?
I haven't, because it's been a downpour.
I know, dude.
Every single day.
Like, you know, Oklahoma's normally pretty chill.
Well, and we've had a drought. We've been on like a severe drought.
Yeah.
Here at the second half of the summer. I mean, it has hardly rained.
Right.
When I had, you know, like before I took the cows to meet their final destiny, it's like a huge problem. No rain, no grass.
You were a grass farmer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but Oklahoma said, you know what? I know that it's daylight savings time. You guys are going to have another hour of sleep. Wake you up in the middle of the night because we're gonna have tornadoes.
You know, we didn't. I don't think we actually had tornadoes, but the sirens were going off the whole time.
Yeah,
I would not have woken up, except that my kids woke up three times that night.
I did not wake up, but I wasn't here. I was hunting.
Oh, good. So much better.
So Haley woke up, but I did not.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got, I think like probably 7 or 8 inches in 3 days of rain. It's like all the rain we should have been getting all summer.
It's like, no, I've been holding out for you.
Hey, I've been saving this for you. Here, take this. It's been crazy.
It has been. Yeah. Yeah,
I was like 70 mile an hour winds the other day.
I know. I have not been able to go to the cemetery yet either, but that is definitely something that we plan on doing.
It's been on my mind.
Hopefully tomorrow.
In fact, I was actually...
We should take our family. We should all go together. We should make that a thing.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
Unless I'm having a baby.
Oh, yeah, because, well, unless Lady Pamela is having the baby.
Well, that's the same thing. It's our baby.
Well, yeah.
I'll be there.
It's not the same thing.
Well, but I'll be there, yeah. Okay?
Right.
My presence is required.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, technically, it's not.
Well,
but...
Yeah, well, you tell her that, okay?
Not going to tell her that.
Why don't you try to run that by her?
No.
I was actually thinking about it, though. Like, what if you had... Because it hasn't been just, like, raining. Okay, it's been, like...
Downpour.
Like, where it's, like, it would be imprudent to go out. What if it was, like, doing that for a long time? I was actually thinking about, if it doesn't stop raining, I'm going to petition our bishop to extend... And I don't even know if he can, like, if the local bishop has the authority to extend the indulgence that's granted. I kind of think he might not, but I don't know. So I was going to...
I'm not a canon lawyer.
My plan was, if the rain doesn't let up, I'm going to write the bishop and tell him, you need to extend the indulgence because Nobody went. And there are people, that there are precious souls who died this year who...
That we need to
who
pray
Who need
for.
Us to go, yeah.
But tomorrow is... Tomorrow...
Tomorrow's totally fine.
We'll have no rain.
You can vote, because yeah. tomorrow's... Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be...
By the time this airs, we will all know who the president is.
Maybe. Let's not get carried away. Okay.
Presumably.
Yeah. That may not be the case.
I tell you what, that makes me so mad, and it just is so suspicious. Like, I'm sure there's good reasons for it, and that I just don't understand. I'm very willing for that to be the answer. But I don't understand, like, what it is. Why are we counting the votes? That's what the machines are for. You know, when you vote, you put it in the machine, it's already counted. So, like, I don't understand, in the last election, for days and days, we're still counting the votes. It's like, I don't know, like, if Arizona, like, didn't know about the machines that count the votes.
They knew about them. They had them.
Yeah, I know, but I don't understand.
Yeah.
That
it does seem a little weird that, like, we can figure out who wins Texas in a matter of, like, 3 hours, but it takes, like, 5 days to figure out, like...
I mean, it seems like when the polls close,
mm-hmm.
30 seconds later, we should know what the vote is.
Well, there's, like, mail-in ballots and, you know, like...
Yeah, but they could do that ahead of time.
They could.
The mail-in ballots, like...
They could. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't want to talk about that. That's not fun to talk about.
I know. Anyway...
It's a lot of, like, let's talk about joy
and peace. Tomorrow, you can vote and go to the cemetery.
There you go.
Or when you're listening to this, you can go to the cemetery.
And then pray for our country.
Yeah. And the dead.
And the dead.
Of our country.
That's right.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
One thing I like to do, and I like to think about this, especially during this octave of the dead, is I like to pray for my family line that goes from me all the way back to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
There are countless of my fathers, my mothers and my fathers.
Mm-hmm.
I would not exist if it weren't for them.
Right.
Right? That nobody is praying for anymore because nobody knows who they are.
That's right.
Isn't
that crazy to think about?
Yes. So it's like, you know what? I have a duty to pray, a duty of piety to pray for these people. And so especially during this octave of the dead, I like to try to remember to pray for all of those family members.
That's right.
They go back because
I think it's just
a good thing to do. It's a good habit.
Totally a good habit. And kind of like a prayer hack.
It is kind of a prayer hack.
A little bit of a prayer hack.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a beautiful tradition. Yeah. Yeah. How did Halloween go? I haven't really seen or talked to you. How did Halloween go?
Was fun. You know, we trick or treat. Trick or treating is fun. I know some people aren't into trick or treating. It's like, I have no problem with going trick or treating. You know what I don't like? Trunk or treating, because there is no situation where we're not going to go trick or treating on Halloween. Okay, because that's what you do, right? The last thing I need though is still more candy. Okay, we don't need to do it 4 times.
Right.
You know, like, oh, we're going to trunk or treat at the church and then here and then like another time at what, like at the office. Or it's like, no, we are in the like 1 hour that we're going to go from house to house to house. We're going to have way more candy than my children need. Okay. Like it lasts all year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like the trunk or treating, it's like, I'll get it. You get to get together at church and it's so nice, but it's like, yeah, well, can we like not have candy? We just don't need any more of the candy. It's too much. That's old man Dave.
Boy, that was an old man rant.
His opinion on...
Things you would not hear Catholic Man Show year two.
Yeah, me saying it's too much candy.
Right, yeah.
Never.
I would have been given analogies with candy.
Right, that were bad.
That were terrible. With Tim Staples.
Sort of like candy. What?
You'll get it later.
Yeah.
It's like a now and later.
Dude, though, so we went, you know how when you're kids, there's always this legend that there's this neighborhood over somewhere where they're giving out full-size candy bars.
Yeah.
My kids
found them?
Literally came back with like 8 full size candy
who
bars
in this economy?
A piece, like not eight total. Each of them. It was insane. And I was like having my mind blown, like, this is it. This is the legend. This is like the legendary neighborhood that I heard of so many times. It was incredible.
How do you feel about celebration of Halloween in excess? Like, how do you feel about like some people taking it a little too?
It bothers
you know
me
what?
A lot.
We should talk. Let's talk about something positive. We'll talk about positive.
Adam, bothers me a lot.
Okay, next subject. You know, what do you think about heaven?
Yeah, love it. A big fan, personally. I think the rumors are true.
Yeah. The other day, Anna, I think, it was asking me about heaven. She was like, so like, what happens once, like if after purgatory and you get into heaven, like, what's the first thing you do? What would you say to that?
I think that you would be overcome with an amazing sense of gratitude. It's like probably what's the first sense that first thing that hits you is just gratitude for the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude for the gift of purgatory. I mean, like if we're talking about the first thing you do, coming out of purgatory, I think that you're going
Into non-time.
Your first,
which is like weird to
or
think about.
It's not. I don't think it's non-time.
It's not time, but it's like
it's
entering.
Like,
into
it's outside
eternity.
Of outside of the time we
linear
experience
time.
Here, right? Because there's still a sense of journeying, is what the way it's been. Yeah. I've heard it said. But anyway, I think like as you come out of purgatory, the first thing you're going to do is be so grateful for the suffering you had in purgatory.
But you feel so light.
Yeah, I'll be. It's oh like, gosh, you have to feel amazing,
oh,
it's like, and be like, no oh, in the heaviness. Trinity, like the thing at the
Our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph,
with like you and you and you.
I've been praying with asking your for your prayers for so long.
Like,
yeah,
you guys.
I was not ready for that question.
Can you call God, you guys, like when you're there, right? Behold, like
no.
In front of all,
no, that
the,
would not
through
be.
The triune. You can't no. Say you guys.
No,
I bet you can.
No,
I'll bet you. I'll bet you two spots in heaven.
No, can't do that. You don't know what you ask for. Yeah, it was not a good dad moment because I wasn't prepared. I hadn't
well,
thought
what
about
did
that.
You say?
I just said that you're gonna you know, like whenever you haven't seen a family member in so long and you finally get to see them and you just want to hug them.
I think heaven is very hard to explain to children without making it sound very boring.
I know.
We'll be right back. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. Big shout out to Jimbo Baggins, celebrating the birth of his grandchild. Very excited. Very exciting for him.
Yes.
Another grandson.
Shout out to my grandmother as well. She turned 87 this last week. Doing great. One of the most holy women that I know. In fact, her parents-in-law, my grandfather's parents, were the first married couple in Seminole, Oklahoma, Catholic married couple in Seminole, Oklahoma.
Oh, very cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
But she turned 87. She's doing great. Super holy woman. One of the first times that Haley and I, we were married and I think we had Luke and we went over to their house. they live in Seminole, Oklahoma, and we went over there, and Luca went down, and so we were just kind of talking with my grandpa and grandma, and we were just, you know, just having a good conversation, asking them about, you know, what it was like, you know, in their life growing up and all this stuff, and we finally finished, and they're like, oh, hey, we haven't prayed the rosary yet. Would you like to pray the rosary with us? And we're like, yeah, would love to. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we start, you know, the first joyful mystery, and I'm like thinking, like, it's Friday. Why are we doing
the joyful? She must not know.
It's okay. It, you know what? It's okay. Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
You can pray any mystery on any
day.
It's
fine. It's fine. We'll do that. Yeah. Is it fitting? Maybe not, but it's okay. We'll let's do this. And so, like, we finish, you know, the fifth joyful mystery, and then the first sorrowful mystery, going right into the first sorrowful mystery. And then it was that at that moment, Haley and I realized, when they say the rosary, they mean all of the mysteries, the rosary.
They mean the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Did they do the luminous?
Yep.
Man, see, even the nuns, like the old school nuns, they didn't even do that.
Yeah, and I realized, Haley and I realized, this is like goals. This is like
goals,
you know,
yeah.
Wedding
so,
goal.
You know, a couple things about the rosary, like...
Are you a fan?
I'm a big fan. Oh, yeah, big fan. Back in the day, you know, when like Aquinas was around, let's take just say him, it was a lot faster because the
you only said the first part.
The Hail Mary was just they didn't even call it the Hail Mary, they just called it the Ave, but it was just the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole prayer.
Right.
That you didn't have the Holy Mary, Mother of, you know, the second half.
Which I love the second half.
The second half, I'm like a big. It's like I don't want to say it's my favorite, but
right,
like
it's not part of the. You know, it's not the script. It's not.
But
the,
it feels awfully crucial to me. Okay.
I really want the,
that's like part where I get the stuff about like, hey,
I want you to be praying for me.
Pray for me.
Yeah, especially when I'm about to die.
I mean, it's. I'm sure it's like ontologically better to do like blessed art thou among women.
Yes.
Than it is to say that, like, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. Still like the second part better. Still more into that. Selfishly.
Yeah, yeah, I don't disagree.
So, but you can imagine how, like, that would really speed up the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
If you're cutting every Hail Mary in half. Also, the beginning prayers of the rosary are not actually part of, like, the historical rosary.
Mm-hmm.
The opening, like the creed, the Our Father, and three Hail Marys, those were added simply to attain to receive the indulgence that's mm-hmm. attached to the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you'll hear people after the rosary say, and for the indulgence, and they say, and Our Father for the intentions of the, you know, for the
Holy Father,
for the intention of the Pope. Yeah, it's like, well, that's actually what the first one's for, but that's okay. More better is nice. What I was trying to say.
Nice.
Thank you.
No, I agree.
But yes, I'm a big fan of the rosary.
Yeah, so am I. So tonight we're going to talk about Blessed Edward. Edward Pope. It looks like it's Pope. Okay. That's what it's P-O-P-P-E, but it's Papa.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to talk about him, and we're going to talk about some of the things that he wrote.
Because he was not a pope.
He was not a pope. No.
His name happens
he was a priest.
To be similar to Pope.
Yeah, but it just kind of looks like Pope.
Yeah.
And some of the writings that he had on the love of the cross and trials. And it struck me the other day. I know a man, in fact, a lot of our listeners know him as well. I'm not going to say his name, but who is a very holy man, great dad. Great husband.
Talking about me.
No. When you talk to him, he seems like he's very joyful. He's a very joyful man. Asking him how he's doing great. You know.
Really so, feels like you're talking about
so,
me.
So doing so great. And then like you find out that like his wife is kind of terminally ill.
Oh. Not talking about me.
No, not talking about you. See, I knew that
man, but it really felt like it.
At the very beginning.
Right up until the last part.
Yeah. And you realize, like, this man is carrying an incredibly heavy cross. You know, he's working. He has some side things. They homeschool. You know, that he's, you know, a dad, I think, of six.
Hmm.
And when you talk to him, you would never guess, you know, that he's carrying the heavy crosses that he does. And it just made me realize like how many times I really just dropped the ball on the opportunity to carry crosses, you know, like, and just the little things
I feel you, dude,
throughout the day that I like that just turned my day the wrong way. And then I either complain, moan, groan about it.
I have done that exact thing where I'll have something small. Yeah. Something small. My wife is not terminally ill. Okay.
Right.
And I'll resolve, like, I'm going to just keep this to myself. You know, I'm going to really, it just doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And I'll make it like 10 minutes before I find myself like, oh, well, it kind of came up.
Right.
In conversation. You know, it's like, well, it came up because like you wanted to talk. Like, it, really, that's the thing. It's like
you wanted the opportunity.
You wanted to talk about it. And right. like.
And I just realized how. So the other day, I just dropped the ball big time on having an opportunity to carry across. Like, it was very clear I had this opportunity and I just fumbled big time. And as I was reflecting on, you know, my examination of conscience, I just realized like this is like to the T what I have failed to do in the, you know, when you do your act of contrition, you know, for what I've done, what I have failed to do. And I just realized like I have to get a good confession. Like I just like failed to do this. This is something that was given to me and I did not embrace it, but I just threw it away.
And just to be fair, not that you had to go to confession, but like ought to go to confession. Like,
yeah, that's a good clarification. Yeah. I just felt
it
like
it sounds like you
in my conscience just
you
like,
didn't set out to do it poorly, but you just did do it poorly.
I definitely did it poorly. And so anyway, I was reading I was reading this, some of his writings. This is a little book. I love this book. It's a very small book, under 135 pages, but a very small pages. It's called Under the Gaze of God, and it's by Blessed Edward Papa, and he's a priest in the early 19th century. I think he received his first Holy Communion like 1902 or something like that. And he actually was a medic.
So he's very recent.
Very recent. I think he was a medic in World War I. He was known for his piety during, like, in the army. And his father wanted him to take up the family business afterwards, and he silently kind of agreed. But he knew internally he needed, like, he was called to be a priest. And his mother ended up talking to him and saying, like, "Oh no, you're called to be a priest. You should go be a priest." He's like, I don't know. I think he's one of 11. Five of his sisters became nuns, a couple of his brothers maybe become priests, super holy family.
It's ridiculous. Dad's just like, "Will one of these people please take over the family business? Yeah. I'm getting old."
Yeah. But he was such a holy priest.
It'd be a good problem to have. Like,
it's a phenomenal problem.
You've got all these sons, you have 11 kids, you think, man, I'm gonna have to really be dividing up the family business between a lot of these kids. And then, like, priest, priest, none, 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 priest, none, none, priest, priest.
Praise God.
Did not see that coming.
Right.
Yeah. Excellent problem to have.
But you know, Father Edward was known to lived very poorly to be with the people. He started like children's adoration in his parish to bring the children to the Eucharist. He just gave everything that he had to his congregation. He died very young. He was 33 years old when he died. Died of a stroke. He had two heart attacks and then a stroke and died. But after his first heart attack, he started writing quite a bit. He wrote against Marxism and materialism and like a lot of the isms of his day. And he also wrote a lot of spiritual works. And so we're going to kind of go through some of these. You know, some of his like little things. He actually writes very similar to Jose Maria Escrivá, like were little quips,
like very pithy.
Yeah, very pithy. So it's very great to read. You know, maybe right before you walk into work. You know, maybe read a page or something like that before you get into work, just to help kind of get your mind right. Or like during a lunch break, or right before adoration, or you know, just very easy like things to like really very short sentences. But you can contemplate on those things for quite a while.
A picture like a calendar. You know, I've got those like daily calendars where you turn it each day and get like a little quote.
Yeah, I don't ever like those though.
You know, I don't either. But I think if I were to, you know why? I've never given them a chance. They're always just like, and like Catholic basic, you know, and like, man, what, that's like cheesy. But honestly, I think if I were to actually like read one each day, I'd be like, you know what, that is a good thing for me to think about.
Yeah, maybe so. Anyway, he was Pope St. John Paul II started his canonization, and then Ratzinger, or yeah, Benedict XVI made him a blessed. So he's blessed Edward Papa, and we'll talk about his understanding of the love of the cross and trials on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you are giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Exodus 90 is a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it starts on January 20th. Download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men from all around the world. We begin January 20th. Join us.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We haven't even mentioned, but we're enjoying a nice dram of Lagavulin this evening. Nick Offerman's, what is it, 11 year?
Yes.
Caribbean rum finished.
It's fantastic.
Delicious.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's very good for the wintertime as well, like Lagavulin.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, we're going to go to Rome. We're going to Rome.
Yes, yes. On the Jubilee year.
On the Jubilee year. We want you to come with us.
Please do. Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, we're gonna. It's gonna be like Eucharistic miracles. We're gonna go see Rome, Assisi. Like, it's gonna be great. We have a fantastic spiritual guide with us.
Lanciano, Orvieto, Florence, Rome.
Yeah, it's gonna be phenomenal.
It's gonna be incredible.
We have Father Stuart Crevecoeur is gonna go with us. He's gonna be our spiritual guide. He's a fantastic priest from the Diocese of Tulsa in Eastern Oklahoma, and he's been a longtime listener of the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah,
enjoys it. A nice dram of whiskey, and very intelligent, like knows...
He's like very smart.
Very smart dude. So really excited to be with him. But you can go to selectinternationaltours.com or give them a call and let them know that you want to go on the Catholic Man Show pilgrimage with us. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the love of the of cross and trials today by Blessed Edward Papa. I'm pulling this from Under the Gaze of God. Really, I just want to kind of read a few of these and kind of get your thoughts and like if it sparks any like... commentary from you or conversations that would be, you know, fitting. But because I find it's very interesting that we talk about being a joyful Christian, right? We know that we're called to be joyful. And in fact, that's kind of one of the main ingredients needed for evangelization, right? To have this hope that's within you, to have the joy of Jesus Christ, to where people look at you and say like, hey, there's something different about you. But we also know, paradoxically, that like becoming a Christian means you have to pick up the cross and follow Christ daily, right? That there's going to be redemptive suffering involved. That there's going to be suffering involved. And so I find, as we said in the before on the other side of that break, that there are many people in my life who I realize carry very heavy crosses that I'd never knew, like I would not know that they did, and I realized that. That's what a lot of the saints did, and that's kind of a main ingredient.
It's a big difference, yeah, becoming between, a saint, like, me and them,
right? In fact, if you look at most of the saints, they had a lot of turmoil, a lot of difficulties in their life, a lot of heavy crosses, but they also were very joyful. They also like were very like had a ton of gratitude.
Yeah, they're the kind of people who viewed their own suffering as inconsequential compared to yours.
Right.
Even though theirs was monumentally more than like your small inconveniences, they still considered yours to be heavy burdens.
Right. And so I really like, there's other guys that, you know, good friends of ours that I feel like that are just always uplifting guys, always around, like Jeff Gallant's one of those guys, right? He's always a joyful Christian. He's always like, always an optimist. He's always, you know, it's like Jeff has bad days, just like all of us, but he chooses, you know, to live a joyful life.
Right.
So anyway, so here's what he says. He says, here's the first thing that I wanted to just like throw at you. He says, may the cross be for me like a kiss from the crucified. Like, to me, it's like, man, think about like, I don't know. To me, I had the image of course, the passion, because like the passion just captures my imagination so much with in the crucifixion, right?
Yeah.
Of him just suffering there, and you know, Simon carrying that cross for helping Jesus carry the cross, right? Mm-hmm. And the conversation that they probably had, or at least a couple words that was exchanged during that time period. That we probably don't even know
at
about.
At least several glances that said, who knows what.
Right. That it says, like, suffer like Jesus, not for yourself alone, but for souls.
Yeah, I like that one, because in my experience, if I try to offer up suffering for myself, it becomes very hard to do. Suffering for me becomes much easier when I'm doing it for someone else,
mm-hmm.
right? Like cold showers, you know, during Exodus 90. If I'm just doing it because, like, I want to have more discipline and I want, you know, like to grow whatever, very, 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 very hard to do
mm-hmm.
in the middle of winter.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm doing it for, like, love for the, you know, sanctity of my family, all of a sudden, that cold shower, while still very cold, I find more meaning in it, you know, and I find the ability to suffer through it for those reasons a lot easier than if it's for myself.
Well, and I find that, you know, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. This is like like the crescendo of that love your neighbor as yourself is, right? This carrying of the cross, like, that I may suffer for the greater good of you.
Mm-hmm.
That is, to me, like, what it, you know, kind of hits for me.
Right, yeah.
And this one I feel like is just incredibly true, that a cross loses half its weight as soon as it's fully accepted.
Totally. It's because it's the rejection, it's the struggle of acceptance. The same is true with pain. If you're in pain, and I think maybe long-term constant pain would be different, but if you're like getting stitches, you know, I don't know, just think about some like short-term kind of sharp pain, and you're like, trying to whatever, but if you just like relax and accept it, all of a sudden it just doesn't hurt as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Just the reception of just saying, yeah, it hurts. So what? You know, like that really does make a big difference in the amount of pain that you experience. And it's, I think I bring that up because a lot of this happens at a natural level, right? That once we can do those kinds of things naturally, then we can start to do them supernaturally as well. That just, you have to have this acceptance, because the cross inevitably brings pain, okay? Whether it's emotionally, often emotional pain. But that is something that we need, like on a natural level, if we can accept it. And you won't be able to accept it if you don't like have faith that there's a reason why, and like this is good, and all of those things. But that helps you, I think, build on that natural acceptance of a more of a spiritual acceptance as well.
Yeah, because I actually think that the physical pain is the easiest to control.
Sure, yeah. Physical pain is far better than emotional pain.
Or spiritual pain, or
right.
Mental pain,
mm-hmm.
Anguish, you know.
Right.
Anxiety, you know, all those kind of things.
Right, because a lot of those things are more difficult. Those other ones are more difficult because their source or origin or cause is harder to discern. Yeah, when I'm in physical pain, it's like, I know exactly why I'm in physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the cause is, I know the source, and therefore, like, I have more confidence in how long it's going to last, right? Whereas, like, anxiety, psychological, emotional pain, harder sometimes to know where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So it's a much more of a cross.
Mm-hmm. He also says that God has two ways of guiding souls, priests and crosses.
Mm, I'll take priests, please.
I'll take priests for 500.
Yes. I would like priests again.
Yeah. Which I find very interesting. Like, I know there's some priests who listen to our show, and it's like, this is like such an important aspect for you guys, right? You know, that you live good and holy lives, knowing that, you know, you're called to shepherd your flock.
Those priests are going like, great, you guys are my cross. I just want you to know that. Like,
but there's
you're choosing me. Like,
well, there's an analogy between like the domestic church here too, right?
Sure.
You know, like
for the father,
for the father. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I could imagine as a spiritual father seeing the, you know, people that you have, that you're the shepherd of this flock, and seeing them grow spiritually, like how satisfying that has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And how much gratitude that you must have to have. 'Cause like when that happens with my kids, how satisfying that is. But if you are the, spiritual father of 1,000 people, it's a lot. It's a lot to take on.
Sounds like a lot.
To me, it does.
It's too many people for me.
But I mean, those are the two. Like, I find it. But this is how he says that God has a way of guiding souls. Is
priests and crosses. Yeah. So listen to your priest, or you're getting him another cross.
And also, like, the cross is something that God gives you to guide your soul.
Right, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. He also said, it's beautiful to see how all men are drawn to him through suffering and trials, and how those whom he loves the most ascend the sorrowful mount of Calvary of interior pain.
I was just trying to think about what it is he means here, because at first I was thinking, like, yeah, you know, everybody prays when they need something, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is true. And that's good. And like, I think that's part of what he's saying here. Like, God allows bad things to happen to us because sometimes that's what we need
to bring us closer to him.
Right. Yeah. Because if things are perfect all the time, then it's easy to understand why you might think that I don't need him. I don't mm-hmm. need God because, like, look, I'm doing fine without him, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, I also think, though, that the more that you have these sufferings and trials, the more you realize that you have the reliance of God, and the more and more you realize who you really are as the Son of God, and then the absolute dependence that you have for Him. And so the ascent of the amount of interior pain is almost like, I'm not close enough to Him yet. I'm not close enough to Him yet.
I see the
better that I can't get to quite yet.
Adam, I don't know about you, but I am getting tired of giving my hard-earned money to companies that are paying for things like abortions and worse.
I know, man. The stuff that they're teaching our kids in school, that anti-Catholic bigotry, it's getting crazy what they're pushing on them. I really just would like to spend money without having to worry about supporting these type of people.
You know, that's where Catholic-owned comes in. Finally, we have a way to shop with businesses that share all of our values.
Wait, hold on. What exactly is Catholic-owned?
Oh, it's the app to find tons of authentically Catholic-owned businesses from across the country and finally feel good about where your money goes. They've got national and local companies, goods and services, and they're adding more every day.
Man, I gotta check this out. Where can I find them?
You can download the free Catholic-owned app today and join us in building the new Catholic economy. Just use referral code CATHOLICMAN at sign up. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about the cross and love of it. A little book called Under the Gaze of God by Blessed Papa. P-O-P-P-E.
Right.
Papa.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sweet name, though.
Pretty cool name.
Kind of wish I had it.
Niles is great.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got no problem, but it's like Papa slaps pretty hard.
It does, yeah.
I'm really trying out like the, you know, the new lingo.
Dude, that's like
these days and
08, 09.
I don't know. I hear you. I've recently heard young people say it. And so it's like, all right, you know what? I think I can do that one.
Love these words.
There's a lot of them that I hear. It's like, I'm not, no. I think I know what you mean. I simply refuse.
Right. Yeah.
You sound ridiculous when you say that. I just want you to know, but I understand you think I'm ridiculous too. So here we are.
Because we're almost 40.
Dude. You don't need to tell everybody. You're going to be there way before me.
Like 3 months.
Like look, we don't have to say exactly how long, but it's a lot, okay?
3 months.
Yeah, we can leave it at three. It's just some sort of three. It's a unit of three.
Yeah.
Could be 3 decades. Probably not.
Yeah.
I'd be 10.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So we're talking about the cross. Before the break, we were talking about how... Here's the quote again. I just want to like kind of end this, it said, put a period on this, but it says, it's beautiful to see how all men are drawn to him through the suffering and trials. Like what we're talking about, like that a lot of times through suffering and trials, that's when you see the need for, you know, the reliance and the dependence that you have for God.
Even if you pray every day in your suffering and trials, you're still made very, very aware,
right,
of your need.
And how those whom he loves the most ascend the sorrowful mount of Calvary of interior pain. And so I think what he's trying to say here is the more that you realize who you are, the more like you realize the dependence that you need on God and how sinful of a man you really are. And like that interior pain of understanding, like, I'm still a sinful man and I'm not, you know, I'm made for greater and I desire, you know, to be in his beatific vision, but I can't because I'm a sinful man. Like that causes so much interior pain.
Right. Yeah. This really reminds me of the Divine Comedy Purgatorio, where, you know, as he's ascending the mountain,
right,
there is pain along the way,
mm-hmm,
but it's objectively different from what he experienced in hell,
mm-hmm,
because there's a joy behind everyone's pain,
mm-hmm,
on this mountain, and you know, it gets less and less and
as you go on,
yeah, and it makes more and more sense,
right.
As you go on and on, and you start to understand and be and really appreciate the suffering, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is really good for the next quote. It says, "If you are faithful to the cross, you soon will find a deep consolation in your cross itself."
Hmm.
So, like this reminded me of again in the Passion. You know, when Christ first takes on the cross. You know, here he is. He's been scourged. He has his crown of thorns. He's absolutely exhausted. He looks like he's about to fall over, you know, and then they hand him the cross. And like what it shows, like in the scene, like him, like his face, like presses up against the cross and his eyes close. And it's almost like you can envision like seeing him, like just almost love on the cross, like
almost like he's hugging,
he's embracing it, like he, like it's like, oh, finally, you're
here. I've longed to embrace you.
Right. It's such a powerful,
yeah,
like,
it is.
Scene.
You know, and I'm just sitting here thinking that, you know, how often the way we are unfaithful to our cross, the way we lay it down, is kind of what we were saying earlier, is through our words and having an unbridled tongue when we complain. This is something I was thinking about a couple days ago, about like, trying to think of a scenario where there was any merit ever in saying like anything that would be complaining, you know, when are you ever going to be like, you know what? I'm really glad I complained about that.
Right.
You know, maybe, you know, it's like if you're saying something like sticking up for somebody else, you know, whatever. But I mean, that's
up until the last like 50, 60, 70 years, like it was just a common notion that men don't complain.
Right.
It was actually like there was shame involved and like this man is complaining.
Even if another person had like severely wronged you, you wouldn't speak about it in front of other people.
Right.
Certainly not in any way that was considered public.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a private conversation with someone about it if it was absolutely necessary for their own well-being, but
very biblical.
Yeah, But yeah, that's exactly right. And it was considered like low and unhonorable. It's dishonorable for you to talk about, you know, the things that had been wrong, that somebody had done wrong to you. Right. Yeah. Even if you had good reason to say it, right. You know?
Yeah. So this next one, it says, if you do not fear the cross, if you do not fear the cross, you will go far and you will be happy.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood that one at first.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he meant like holy fear.
Right.
If you don't have respect for the cross. I thought he was saying, if you don't respect the cross, you'll go far and you'll be very happy.
No.
Which is like, wait, what?
No.
I see. If you're not afraid of it.
Yeah.
And you're ready to accept
You can embrace it. You'll go far and you'll be happy. And it's like, this again, a beautiful paradox of the Christian life that it's that meme that's out there is like, oh, you're going to suffer more. And it's like, joke's on you. I'm into that. I'm Catholic.
Exactly.
You know? And that's where we want to be, like, you know, because it's something that we can offer up in this life. Because again, once you die, like, you can no longer offer things up for your own self,
the book's written at that point.
Right. And so every moment that we have that we can offer up is an act of charity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's just interesting that if you fear the cross, you won't be happy.
Yeah, because the cross can never be joy. You can never find joy in it if you're afraid of it.
Right.
Right. And so if you're just constantly worried about the next cross or like taking the next step with the ones that you've got now, then life is going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it says, let us remember the cross. Then it be, let us remember, embrace the cross. I'm sorry. Let us embrace the cross. Then it becomes sweet and sanctifying. This is something that, again, it kind of piggybacks off of what we've already talked about, is that like the moment that you accept it, like the weight of it is lightened, and that you realize like, oh yes, this is what I'm called to do. This is who I'm made to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part of your vocation, especially as men. I mean, women carry crosses as well. I mean, absolutely, they're very different. It seems to me like the types of crosses that men often carry are kind of different in their nature from what women do.
Yeah. This is, I'm going to skip down because I want to talk to this one because this one hits. This one slaps.
Is it slap?
Yeah. Right. It says, great crosses are given rarely. Little crosses are given to us at every hour. Watch so that you don't lose any of them.
Mm. Word. That does slap, man.
I mean, think about that, because, like, you know, we want to be magnanimous men. You know, you want to do great things for our Lord, for the Lord. You want to do great things, and there are times you're like, Lord, just give me something that I can just suffer. I can just like really like give me something big that I can just suffer for the love of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, where is that cross? I don't ever see it. I don't ever, you know, I'm not never getting it. But then it's like a guy cuts you off in traffic, or you have to get up early, or you're tired, or you have a screaming baby, or you're having to do the dishes late at night, whatever it is, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, what? Lord, like what? Like,
yeah. So I think
this is so unjust.
The big crosses are so much easier in a certain way because they feel very meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
It's those little things like you're saying about, you know, your kids once again didn't put their dishes in the dishwasher. And now here you are having, you know, and it feels meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
This little bitty inconvenience, annoyance. That's where the secret sauce is, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's those things that feel meaningless. And so they're hard for you to do, you know, because those big crosses, man, you can tell like this, I'm making a difference today, baby. Like, oh, right. I got to be saving at least 100 souls.
It becomes prideful, right?
Right, exactly.
The big crosses have inevitably like a sense of pride that can come with them if you're not careful.
I'm like praying all these people into heaven right now.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whereas
but
like...
I love the end. Like the first sentence really hits, but the end is so powerful to me. It says, watch so that you don't lose any of them.
Yeah. Because you'll regret it.
Right. And then it says, suffer, be silent, and always keep good your good humor. Even when everything in your soul is dark and black and the air is heavy with storms. This is like that when I read that one, I was like, man, that is just like what the guy I talked about earlier in the show was like. Seems like he does all the time. He just suffers, but he suffers silently, mm-hmm. and he still has his good humor. And you would never know it, even though internally he has to be suffering greatly.
Yeah, this is a lot like this is sort of the advice that's always given to people who are going through dry periods of spiritually. You know, just mm-hmm. be faithful. Mm-hmm. Just keep going. Right. Just don't stop. Be persistent. Persevere. And it will pass, you know. So even when you're being that, which is like, just be silent. Yes, you're suffering, but you just have to persevere.
Right.
And then it will be transformed.
Yeah. Anyway, Blessed Edward Pope, pray for us. Papa, Pope, Pope, however you say his last name. We're out of time on the Catholic Radio. Go check us out on the podcast, thecatholicmanshow.com. I have two more that I want to talk about on the podcast, so make sure you tune in. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
So the next one I want to talk about is like, it says, a day will come when your sufferings will be changed into joy.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I was just saying.
Right.
I think this is meaning two things. Obviously, heaven.
Right.
That is the day.
Right.
Right. But also before that, you know, there's, I think everybody's had those experiences where you were bearing a trial and then a time came where that trial was over and there was some unforeseen, unexpected, unlooked for joy.
Fruit.
Some reward of some kind, right? And you're not doing it for the reward, but,
the Lord gave the grace of letting you see the reward, the fruit of your suffering.
Yeah, where there's like a situation where that came about that was far better than you could have ever foreseen. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's not even the best part. The best part is the personal growth that you get. You know, that part is even more important than good outcomes of whatever, right? But still, it's true that a day will come when those sufferings will be transformed into joy. And a lot of that transformation is interior.
Right, and
you become transformed.
Right, but you see this in a lot of the saints. Like even like Mother Angelica, right? When she fell and broke bones and things like that, when she was older, she was like, they were all, I can't believe, I'm so sorry that happened. She goes, oh, it's okay. This is something that I get to offer up to our Lord. Mm-hmm. Like she rejoiced in these pains and sufferings because it gave her something else to offer up to our Lord.
And likewise, when she was miraculously healed,
mm-hmm.
she was almost distraught that, well, now what
can I give you,
Lord? What do I have to offer him?
Right. And so that's when I think the next level of holiness, that's like holiness phase 7. I don't know how many phases there are, but it seems like 7 is a perfect number, and like that just seems...
Dude, there are way more than 7 phases. I know...
Of holiness?
Probably from where you're standing, it seems like 7's a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right.
Just dress me.
Okay. So here's the last one that I want to... This is what he said. This is his last journal entry on this topic.
Okay.
So I thought it was fitting. I will not stop praying for you until the day I know you'll be more happy with a cross than a success. The day on which you will find more consolation in humiliations than in praise.
Well, I'm glad to know that because...
Because I
tell you...
I mean, that is...
I'm not there yet. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I feel very far away.
I mean, that to me is... This is, to me, that's hard to take in. That's hard to grasp, to wrestle with. But I do understand, like,
it just comes down to, this is my problem, that...
Dude, you got a lot of problems.
Oh, I have a lot.
You shouldn't just say...
This is my problem, like, in this context. Yeah,
okay.
Just this one.
You got a lot of problems.
We talk about something else, I got another problem.
Yeah.
Okay. But that I, and we all do this, who have this problem, focus our desires on things on the here and now. right? Mm-hmm. We look at the things of this world. We're attracted by the beauty of creation. Mm-hmm. And we let our affections and our desires get disordered and desire these the beauty that is here before us. Success in this life. Mm-hmm. Comfort here and now, right? Instead of keeping our eyes and our hearts fixed on the source of all joy, the source of all beauty, and that eternal reward, which is incomparably higher, right? And so that's the gift that the saints have received, the saints, even when they're in this life, that they do keep their eyes in the right place. And so by comparison, the joys and pleasures of this life are meaningless. And so it is the cross, actually, that increases those joys in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to see rightly. If you can do that, this is, we're talking like a big if. It takes a lot of spiritual maturity, obviously, to do that. But when you get there and when you can start to hold your gaze there, then yeah, it's understandable how the pleasures that are distracting to most of us here on earth would be, you know, who cares?
Well, it's hard to take credit for a gift that you've been freely given.
Right. Well, you can't.
But I mean, that's what we do a lot, right?
Yeah.
You know, like the Lord has given us a lot of talents that we can, you know, choose to exercise. And because, you know, we're all part of the body of Christ, and the more, you know, everybody has different talents to grow the kingdom of God. But the gift that you've been given is a gift that you don't deserve.
Well, this is why humility is so important. I mean, and why God chooses only the humble to do his work. Those who do not seek to take credit for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because it's not their work, right?
Right.
And that's why humility is so crucial. Because without humility, you can't actually be a good instrument.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. One way in which, like, to practically be able to embrace your cross throughout the day as a man who's, you know, trying to raise a family, has a job, trying to, you know, just live a good Catholic life, like, one piece of advice you'd give.
Well, you have to practice it. The best way to do that is to, I think, willingly and voluntarily take some up, okay? So not all crosses are surprises. Some of them we choose to carry voluntarily. I'm talking about things like fasting. Mm-hmm. By learning to discipline your own appetites, your own desires, then learning to carry small crosses like that, then all of a sudden they become easier and easier. You know, I remember when I first started having a regular discipline and practice of fasting, it was very hard. I could barely get through the day. You know, all I could do all day was think about how hungry I was and to think about me and how long until I get to eat something, right? And it was very distracting, very difficult. But then with practice, I don't really, I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm hungry, but I don't think about that anymore, right? And you just learn to discipline your mind and discipline your appetites like that. So I would say picking up some of those crosses is a good place to start, because sometimes the crosses that we've been kind of talking about today, they're unexpected and you don't know when they're coming, mm-hmm. right? So it's difficult to, can be difficult to practice. It's sort of like patience. Well, you can't just like decide, right, I'm going to go and be like in 10 minutes, I'm going to practice patience.
Oh, you can. It's like in 10 come minutes, on. I'm going to go
come over to
my child.
Come over to my house. You can have any time you want. But you know,
I'm
so like,
engage in a dialogue with one of my children in 10 minutes.
But some things require something externally to come. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they're great.
Yeah.
But not all crosses are like that. So you can take some up. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah, and I think having like the mind frame of what really changed it for me, and I'm so terrible at it, but when I actually intentionally think about it, it makes a big difference. Is when those when those crosses come, when the heaviness comes, when the anxiety comes, when like your interior uneasy and not peace, your peace has been disturbed. to use that as an opportunity to grow in virtue, right? To use that as an opportunity, you know, to embrace that cross. And so, like, the moment of saying, Lord, you know how I feel right now better than even I do. And you know, I don't, you know, this is not what I want, but I offer this back up to you.
I think that's really good too. You know, we mentioned earlier about how, like, sometimes you have a small cross and you end up talking about it with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we just need to talk about it with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a cross like this and you're trying to, like, bear it in a holy way, talk about it with Christ. Mm-hmm. Talk to him a lot about it throughout mm-hmm. the day. Tell him how you're feeling, because I think that that actually does relieve some of that desire or need or urge we have to express mm-hmm. these things to somebody.
So, yeah.
Right? Talk about it to him. And, like, that's, first of all, he wants you to do that. Like,
he wants you to share his life with him.
A lot of the purpose of the suffering is to teach you to come to him. So now you here you are coming to him, mm-hmm. right? You're not going to bother him.
No, and it's not like you're going to hide something from him that he doesn't already know. And so, like, like in humility, you go to him and say, like, Lord, you know this cross is heavy for me, and you know I'm very agitated or that I'm very uneasy about this.
Yeah, I would just be very frank with him about everything.
And I just want to be thankful for it, but I'm not right now. Maybe I'm not right now.
Yeah.
But I still want to give it to you. And then I beg for the grace to be able to accept this.
I can't tell you how many times I've told the Lord, Lord, I don't want that.
Right.
I will do it. Obviously, clearly, you're asking me to do it. I'm a faithful son.
I try to be.
As faithful as I can be, right? I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes.
At this moment, yes.
In this moment, I'm saying yes.
Right.
I want you to know, and I know you know. I want to know.
You know that I know that you know.
I just want us to have this conversation. I don't want this. But, you know, like, sometimes you kind of start that conversation feeling like, what is up, God?
Right.
You know, but by the end of it, you're like, you know, but God, it's going to, my tune will totally change. It's like, but I will do it, you know, because I love you and you know what, God, you are the coolest. And
thy will be done.
Yes.
That's what we pray.
And by the end of it, I feel a lot better.
Yeah. So anyway,
but you know what? Very often when I have that conversation with me, he does take it away. When I have that conversation with him, not because I told him to, I said I'd do it, but he's just a merciful God.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah.